Amen. That is my testimony this morning, that through it all, another day's journey, God has kept us here. I greet you all this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it in Jesus' name. My prayer to you is that through it all, that God has saw you through your journey, and God will see you through it because he is able. This morning's scripture reading will come from the Gospel of St. Matthew, 21st chapter, beginning at the first verse, being this is Palm Sunday. This is the day where the Lord is remembered for riding into Jerusalem triumphant and in victory. The Bible reads, NIV, Matthew 21, verse 1, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, and with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place, what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and a colt and foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Let us pray, Father, as we come now to glorify you, to lift you, and to thank you. God, as we come now, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of horrible diseases, even in the midst of isolation and pandemic, God, we still lift up holy hands to say thank you. Even though, Lord, we now walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God, with your grace and your mercy, we will fear no evil, for we know that thine art with us. God, we ask you this morning to smile upon this land, forgive us for our sins, and have mercy on our souls. God, as I come now this morning to lift up bereaved souls, those who have lost life, not just to this pandemic, Lord, but those who passed away through natural means or any other means, God, I'm praying for the strength of their families. I'm praying, God, for those who may be sick this morning, those who may be isolated in ICU, those who may be in rest homes, God, I ask you, Father, to have mercy. Then, God, those who are in their prospective homes, those who have been socially isolated, those of us who would want to come to the house of worship, God, to thank you for what you've done, God, and to assemble together as you have said. But yet, God, we follow the rules of the land as you have guided us. And we ask you, God, that you will continue to do what it is that you do. Heal, deliver, and set free. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the faithful of God here and now say amen. And at this time, we're going to play a little bit of music. I want to say thank you to Mr. Jeff Cook. The Reverend took time out to come out to the sanctuary to record this, and we thank Deacon Richard Woods and Reverend Lamont Turner, who's in our parking lot, so we will follow the rules of social distancing, that they are here to receive offerings and prayer requests on behalf of Rogers Grove Church. And then I thank Lady Thompson, who is here faithful as usual on her post. To God be the glory.
This is not the headline I wanted to read, nor the breaking news I wanted to see. But Father, you are sovereign. You allow this to be, so I trust you to get us through. I hear our humble cry. Precious Lord, take my hand, and like a shepherd, lead us through this troubled land. I know we're not forsaken, and you have a plan. So we trust you to get us through. For without a doubt, you can get us out. There's no question about whether we can trust you to get us through. Yes, we trust you to get us through. Yes, you got us through many trials before. We're asking you to do it once more.
There is a word from the Lord. Give you opportunities to find your Bibles if you have them. Today we're going to speak from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse, New King James Version. I will be reading from. I encourage you to get your Bibles, your iPhone, iPad, and begin to let the Lord talk to you. Father, anoint, bless, strengthen, and keep me during this time. Let anything in me that's not like you, God, be removed, bind, rebuke in Jesus' name, that your word may come forth and your people may be strengthened and comforted, and that faith may be made full. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, 16th chapter, 13th verse. It reads this way: when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Surely I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man in his kingdom." Church, there comes a time in our life that we must realize that there's going to be a time for change. You're going to realize that this time for a change, most of the times, is out of your hands. Most of the time, you will realize the circumstances and situations will lead to this change. But no matter what it looks like, no matter how grim it may get, no matter how dark it may get, or uncertain it may get, I just came by to encourage you today that God is still in control. If you all look back, many of us at the beginning of this year, 2020, everybody was screaming 2020 vision. Everybody was screaming about, prophets were screaming about how good God's going to turn around and how God's going to bless everybody, and money cometh to me now. 2019, we couldn't wait to get to 2020. My grandma used to tell me, be careful what you pray for. Be careful what you ask for. Now we are here today in uncharted waters. Months ago, I was looking forward to the NBA Finals. I was looking forward to times of revival coming. I was looking for times of promotion and seeing people weddings and seeing people get blessed and seeing children graduate. I was looking for all these things. I was excited about the ministers of this church who had God had brought to this church. I was excited to see what God was going to do right here in this branch of Zion. I was excited about people who had just joined the church and people not only who had come in for the first time and given their lives unto the Lord, but I was excited because there were those who was returning back to the house of the Lord. I was encouraged, saints. But now here we are in deep waters. We are in uncharted territories. We are here today. Most are anxious. Most are tired. Most here today are unsure about what's going on. As I get to the brass tacks of the situation, most of you have been listening to words about the coronavirus. You've been listening to COVID-19 and what it has done. One thing it has done is, first thing is, people have taken it lightly. It should never be taken lightly. As I looked up the statistics yesterday at 1 a.m., 1,218,126 cases of this virus had come across the world. in the United States of America alone, and it's probably more now, but at that time it was 3,637 cases of this disease. At that time, it was last night, this morning, it was 8,454 cases of death. And yet, we seem to still be taking lightly what people are telling us about this global pandemic. Before I go on with the sermon, I want to encourage you to be sensible and to be smart. I heard Reverend Irvin Milton say, he said, "I'm not worried, but I am concerned." Let me say that again. He said, "I'm not worried, but I am concerned." I know that you know God. I know that most of us are covered by the blood of Jesus. But we should not be foolish to think that this disease is not contagious, and this disease is not not only contagious, but it's deadly. So I encourage you to, people laugh when you say wash your hands. But no, you have to wash your hands more. And then not only washing your hands, you ought to keep a distance from people because the disease is airborne and it is deadly. So now what has happened? We have created a social distancing. Well, there's no such thing as social distancing because God has allowed us to have the internet. God has allowed us to have telephone. As a matter of fact, we can always talk to him. But one thing I'm saying to you is that we ought to keep a physical distance. Be smart about what you do and don't be foolish. But then I tell you, don't be fearful and don't panic in uncertain times because God is still able. If they tell you to be 6 feet apart, I read the other day, it's better to be 6 feet apart than to be 6 feet deep. So be smart about what you are doing. But the Bible says there comes a time. The Bible says from now on. In other words, when Jesus began to tell his disciples, he was questioning them as to who he was. When he got down to verse 21, he said, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples. In other words, from that time, there was a change. From that time, something took place. So sometimes in your life, there comes a place called from that time. From that time, it's not the same anymore. From that time, you operate on a different parameter. From that time, you go from walking in the flesh to walking in the spirit. So Jesus asked the question when he got to Caesarea Philippi to the disciples, to the church, who do you say I am? And I'm asking you that question this morning through the fear and the pandemic, and people are unemployed, and people have not only lost their jobs, but the children are not in school. The sports teams are not playing. And there are different things that we normally would do. Now everything seems to be shut down. And I believe that the Lord is asking the church, those of us who say we have faith, those who say we believe in him, those who say we trust him, he's asking you the question this morning, who do you say that I am? But before that, he had asked the question, who do people say that I am? Who do men say that I am? Now that things are happening, what is the world saying about the Lord? Well, if you listen to people talk, if you listen to the politicians, most of them are still not acknowledging God. And it's okay. They're doing what they know to do. The world is going to do what the world is going to do. They're doing the right things, trying to get an antidote, trying to get a vaccine for this disease. But very little is mentioned about the Lord. I still see a whole lot of pride and a whole lot of me. And if we would just stop thinking about us and put our mind on the Lord, I believe he'll step into our situation. Then not only do you have politicians talking like that, I hear prophets of the church saying they're not going to follow social distancing. They're going to keep on packing churches out, being irresponsible. But that's okay. You can do whatever it is you want to do. But I'm telling you that we need to listen to the people and we need to follow the mandate of the Lord. So Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Amen. They said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. And the Lord said, yeah, but who do you say that I am? Then Simon Peter answered the Lord. Simon Peter was the fisherman. Simon Peter was the cussing preacher. Simon Peter was the knife-toting preacher who stood up on Pentecost and preached to 3,000 souls, and the church began and souls got saved. That Simon Peter, the one that denied Jesus later on, that Simon Peter. Simon Peter, who ran along and was jealous of John, that Simon Peter. Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
if most folks would realize that in this text, you see three things happening, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's saying that Messiah, the chosen one that God sent, he is the one. You see the Messiah here in that text. Then you see, now you saw the church, you see the Messiah, and then you see the cross. So, well, preacher, where do you see that at? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, flesh and blood do not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Right there, he's saying, I am he. I am the Messiah. Then you say, well, where is the church? Verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. My church, my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And then when you go down to verse 21, you see the cross where the Lord is talking about going to Jerusalem. Amen. Let's break this text down just for a little while. You see here the church. The church is the ecclesia. The church is the called out ones. The church is the people of God who have accepted the work of Christ on the cross. And now we have decided to live for him. And we recognize that he is God, and he is God all by himself. He's not God equal with sports. He's not God equal with your career or your job. He's not God equal to the economy or money, because you cannot serve God and money at the same time. He's God, and he's God all by himself. Verse 16, let's go there and talk a little while. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The first thing you have to do today, church, is recognize truth. Even in the midst of this pandemic, while you're at home, I ask you to fast and pray. Listen to me. Fast and pray. Call up the Lord and ask him what he's doing in this time, and then refrain from food, refrain from TV, refrain from thought for a little while to get your flesh under subjection, that your spirit can hear what God is trying to say to you. The first point is to recognize truth. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and you can't hear without a preacher, and the preacher can't preach unless he's been sent. And when faith comes, you will recognize truth, and that truth, Minister Cook, is that Jesus is the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 16. Verse 17 says, read with me, church. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father from heaven. The second thing is, after you recognize the truth that Jesus is the Christ, you got to recognize revelation knowledge. You got to recognize that there's a rhema word. There's something that God is saying to you during this time. Well, to me, it may not be to you, but there's tension in this text. Yes, I trust God. Yes, I love the Lord. But every now and again, I have to ask the question, God, what are you doing? God, do you see me down here? God, what is going on? If you protect your people, why are we going through these things? But the Lord has given us a rhema word in this time, that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Hebrews 13 and 5. The Lord is also letting you know that there are some people who will not listen to the word of God. They will not listen to the preacher. They will not listen to their family. They will not listen. And so sometimes God has to allow things to happen. Well, why did I say that word allow? Because this virus did not come from God. I know a lot of people are saying that it come from God. No, as I studied, it cannot. Because John 10 and 10 said the thief comes, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And now the thief has come. This disease is killing. This disease is stealing. This disease is taking everything that we have been standing on. This disease has taken it. Well, what's equal with the disease is sin. For so long, we have been trying to tell you all that God is real. We have been trying to tell you that sin will kill you, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We've been trying to tell you this. This is the knowledge of who God is, the revelation knowledge that you must give up your life, you must take up your cross, and you must follow him. And if you lose your life for his sake, you will save your life. That is the revelation knowledge of who the Lord is. Verse 18 says, and I also say to you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's a relevant word for today. That means today, it looks like the church has been silent. It looks like the church is not going to make it. But I tell you that God's word is true. Let God be true, and every man be a liar. Yes, we may not be able to do it the way we normally do it. We may not be able to come and touch hands and touch your neighbor and turn to your neighbor. We may not be able to do all of that. But we can call people. We can pray for people. We can reach out to people by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the relevant word. The relevant word is, no matter what it looks like, economically the church will survive, because it's built not on Peter, but it's built on Jesus, the rock, the solid rock. Amen. It's a relevant word for this time. Let me say this one more time. Upon this rock is him, Jesus. Jesus was the chief cornerstone, who the builders rejected, and the church was built on that rock. Ephesians 2 and 20. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, the Lord always leave you a weapon. As I get ready to leave you, the Lord always leave you a weapon. And I'm feeling pretty good. It's the first time I feel, Mr. Cook, that I'm in here in the empty church, but I'm beginning to feel good by the power of God. Amen. That God is still real. He says that I'll build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail. Well, you've seen the gates of hell. Death is the gates of hell. No presence of the Lord is the gates of hell. This is a preview, I believe, of what it will be like in the rapture of the church when the church is not here, the Holy Spirit is not moving. So I implore you today to give your life to the Lord, that you may be saved, that you will go with him. Amen. Revelation. Verse 19 tells us that, and I will give you, this is Jesus talking, after he said, I'm building the church. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Lord have mercy, I do feel good now. It says to recognize truth. Remember that. And look at the revelation knowledge of what God is saying to you. And then look at what God is saying in his rhema word, because that rhema word is a relevant word. But also, this is a time of responsibility and authority. You know what you're talking about? Responsibility. The responsibility, Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys of the kingdom of heaven belongs to the church, and we have the authority to bind and to loose, to open and to close. Not mine will, but thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If I told you that I was going to give you my keys to go to my house and the keys to my car, you could start my car, you could walk in my house, but you can take all your keys and all your key fob. You cannot start my car and you cannot enter my home. But Jesus has given us, the saints, authority in the church and authority in the world. And I know this disease is here. I know people are going to be unemployed. But listen to me. Go to this scripture right here. If you are saved, and you must be saved, you must be born again for this to operate. Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever, listen to me, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. We bind and declare and decree that this disease, this pandemic, it must end. I don't know when it's going to end. I don't know how it's going to end. But all I know is that God is going to end it. I started off by saying the Lord said that the thief will come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But God made us a promise this morning that I will give you life, and I'll give it to you more abundantly. You got to believe me this morning. From now on, saints, it's going to be different. From now on, you're going to go through a storm. From now on, you might have some trouble. But remember, God is able. Remember, God is able. Whatever you're going through, but God. Whatever you're going through, but God. Genesis 8 and 1 says, but God, remember Noah. Noah was stuck after the storm, and he was in the dark, in the ark. But God remembered Noah. Genesis 31 said God did not permit any harm to come on his children because God remembered them. Genesis 48 said that God remembered his people. He remembered Joseph when Joseph was in the storm. Remember that Psalm 49 said God will redeem you. And no matter what you're going through, but God will redeem you. Psalm 73 and 26, this is for somebody who feel like there is no hope. There is hope in God. It says, but God, in your struggles, God will bring you out. Psalm 86 and 15 says, through everything you're going through, God's compassion and God's grace is right there for you. So I ask you the question from now on, how will you see God? John 8, 48. There were the Jews who saw Jesus, and they thought that Jesus was blaspheming the Father. And they said to Jesus, you are demon-possessed, and you are not only demon-possessed, but you are Samaritan demon. Jesus said to them, no. He said, I am not seeking my glory. There is one who gets all the glory. He said that his glory is going to come, and when his glory comes, he is the judge. And then Jesus said what he said in Matthew 16. With the end of the text, he says that those who are standing here will not see death. Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 8. He said there are many of you standing here that will not see death. I know you're saying, hey man, there's so many folk dying. Well, if you die in the Lord, it's all right because you're going to get up in the Lord. Amen, somebody. And it's okay because one of these days you have to leave this world. But until that time comes, I want you to be encouraged that God can and God will. As I close with this story, there's a story about a prisoner of war, and he was in a Nazi camp, and in the camp, a communist camp, and in the camp, they kept playing these words, and the words said that communism is great and that God is dead, or Christianity is no good. And then this man kept on, he was going down, he was winded, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brought something to his remembrance. Y'all remember Matthew 4 and 4 when Jesus was tempted with the devil, and then he told him, he said, take these stones and turn them to bread. And the Lord said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out the mouth of the Lord. And it said that prisoner of war remembered that scripture. He began to quote that scripture. He began to speak on that scripture. He was captured for months, and finally, when they rescued him, when they brought him out, he had begun to gain weight, and his skin had started coming back to himself. He began to stand up, and he was strong, and where the rest of the warriors were skinny. The prisoner of war was skinny. They were skin and bones, but this man recognized that flesh and blood can't do it. But man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out the mouth of the Lord. I'm done. But I just want to let you know that from now on, things going to be different. From now on, church is going to be different. From now on, you may have to pray without the preacher and the choir. You should have been doing that all along. Every time we preach, you should have been taking it home with you, getting stronger in your house, talking to people in your house, praying in your house. Pray for folk that own your job. And now we're isolated in our homes, but we're not isolated. We're saved by the grace of God. From now on, church, I encourage you, keep the faith. Hold to God's unchanging hand, because my hope is built on nothing less in Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly leaning on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground are sinking sand. If you are able, if you need, give your life to the Lord. Go on our website, oscroveucc.com, and reach out to us and
We will meet you at your point of need, and if not Archer's Grove, I encourage you to find another preacher, pastor, and reach out to them and give your life to the Lord. As we pray, Father, as we give ourselves away, clean us up inside, God. Ask you, God, that you will look on the souls of those who need salvation. And I pray before the end of the day, God, that lives will be saved. I pray that hope will be strengthened. And I pray that people will be encouraged. And I know that you will be lifted. And if you be lifted, we will be glorified. And if we glorify you, God, you will edify us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the faithful of God, amen. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Until we meet again, in Jesus' name, amen.
Right now,
show me to see you give a pound.
You're a winner.
Nobody take that from you. I'll see you tomorrow.